Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Geico presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you can save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Stone, your host on the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. And I am here today with actually my daughter, Emma Good, who has been doing a 21-day challenge with my husband and me to get us in the habit of doing cleaner eating, healthier eating, and incorporating more physical activity into our lifestyle. Emma lives in LA, but she's been back in Atlanta for the past couple months pursuing her acting career here on the East Coast. And so I just thought it would be fun to bring her on the show and let her talk about what she does and why doing this 21-day challenge was something that she wanted to share with us. So, Emma, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So you're a recent college grad, sort of recent college grad.
Not so recent anymore, sadly.
Yeah. You grew up in Atlanta, but went out to Los Angeles to go to college, majored in theater out there. You're not an athlete.
Not at all.
So it's interesting being in a family where the 3 children really pursue very different interests. You chose the acting route. Your middle sister, Savannah, I don't know how to describe her route.
Horseback riding and then art and segued into, you know, a real people job.
Yeah.
I'm the only one of us that has one of those.
That is true. And then your younger brother obviously was the tennis kid and kind of the impetus behind Parenting Aces. But we've kind of come full circle with you and this whole clean eating, and why don't you talk a little bit about your kind of side interest with cooking and clean eating and working out and what you're doing with your web show?
Well, I have always loved food. It hasn't always been healthy food. I'm definitely a big junk food junkie, but not like your stereotypical like candy and junky junk food. I like to home make really good junk food, like really awesome cookies. I make beautiful cakes that are just full of chocolate and fresh ingredients and all the good stuff. But after I moved to LA and graduated from college, I sort of fell into the LA culture, discovered the juice cleanse and tried my hand at those. I tried a couple different ones, and then I found Chef V's actually via, I think, Groupon. And really, really liked her green juice because it tasted really fresh and healthy to me. And that sort of spiraled me into this healthy eating kick. I drink my green juice every day, and I cook a lot at home. I kind of just fell into cooking, too. I don't know if anyone really taught me that so much as I just kind of needed another creative outlet, and that's a really good one. And the rewards are immediate. After I cook, I get to eat and enjoy it. Which goes along well with my picky eating, which, again, not so much picky in terms of I won't eat certain foods. I just really like high-quality stuff, and I happen to like a lot of things my way. And then the cooking show, Queen of the Kitchen, sort of came along. I was auditioning for MasterChef because a friend of mine was a casting recruiter and called me up and said, hey, your food always looks so good when you post it. Why don't you audition? So I did that. And one of the questions they asked me during the MasterChef interviews was, what would you want if you win? So what would be your end goal? And I said I wanted a cooking show. And they were like, well, we're not going to give you one of those if you win because we're a cooking show. Well, I was like, what do you know? What am I doing this for? I can make a cooking show. It's the beauty of the new media movement. So I made a cooking show. And I figured if I'm going to have a show, I'm going to wear a crown because why not? You know.
Yes.
And we shoot it in my pink kitchen. And my whole premise is healthy food doesn't have to taste healthy, air quotes. It's, you know, there's no reason to eat plain steamed vegetables and boring steamed or boiled or grilled chicken. Like, you don't need sauces to make stuff taste good, but you can use different spices or, you know, simple ingredients, mustard, honey, you know, a little bit of salt, paprika, just different garlic. Garlic's one of my favorites. And it's not very hard to make things that are healthy and taste good. So I'm all about making that more accessible.
And as a young single person living in Los Angeles, you have a roommate, but your roommate has a job that doesn't allow for her to be home a whole lot. So a lot of times you're cooking just for yourself and eating for yourself. I think it's really interesting that you found a way to create recipes that are delicious, that are healthy, but also don't break the bank in terms of going to the market. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you found a way to budget for the foods that you like? Because let's face it, those of you who have met Emma, and I know some of you have, know that she is a person of a very high taste, and she's very particular about things. She likes a variety of things, but as she said, she likes them her way. So, you know, you're not eating just plain old nasty chicken boiled up in a pot. You're eating organic chicken that's been raised well and killed well, and I'm saying that in terms of, you know, the fairness and treatment of the animals. You're choosing ingredients that are locally sourced, and that's not always the least expensive way to eat.
It's not, although it's definitely less expensive in L.A. than it is in Atlanta, and that's like the one thing I can say that about, but produce is so much less expensive on the West Coast, I guess, because that's where it's grown a lot of the time or it's closer to the ports. And so getting produce is not a terribly expensive way to live. I do eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. That's kind of my go-to. Like, I always have, you know, green beans or sliced apples and almond butter. Those are just some of my snacks I keep on hand. I work as a tutor, so I usually have those two things plus a meal in my cooler bag in my car from 2 to 10 every day. And as far as the other stuff goes, like, yeah, I'll buy the more expensive piece of fish or the more expensive chicken. I just think what we put into our bodies is not the place to skimp. You know, there are a lot of people who spend a ton of money going out drinking or going out to restaurants, and I enjoy both of those things, but I would rather stay home and cook an awesome meal and spend maybe the amount of money on that as I would spend on one cocktail. Yes, they really are that expensive out there, and it sucks. And so I just, you know, I think it's all about priorities. I also happened upon a really, really good job as a tutor, so I'm able to make my own schedule, and I make pretty good money doing that, and that's really, like, food and travel. That's where I spend my money.
That's awesome. So you got back to Atlanta in January. We had just moved. Things were kind of chaotic in your living environment here because we were still unpacking boxes and setting up the kitchen, which actually, timing-wise, ended up working great because you were able to have input in terms of where everything's going in the kitchen and, you know, making everything accessible.
All the new toys we needed to buy for the kitchen.
Yeah, there was that.
You needed it.
I did. So we decided to embark on this 21-day challenge. And for me, it was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, again, listeners, you'll know I'm pretty healthy and pretty fit overall. I take pretty good care of myself. For Dad, it was a little harder job of convincing him, not in that he didn't want to do it as much as it's just it required more change on his end. So for people that are in his kind of category, they work hard, they keep long hours, you know, it's just easier to grab something from the
whatever's around.
Yeah, exactly. And for him, he's a Diet Coke drinker, he's a Splenda user. I mean, there were a lot of things in his diet that were going to have to get cut for this challenge. So for somebody like that, what is your advice? Because a lot of my listeners are, they're either tennis parents or they're coaches. So maybe they want to institute these kind of changes within their family or for the coaches, maybe with their teams. What are some ways to make that happen and kind of sell the idea to those that are participating?
I would say the biggest sell for me is the way I feel when I eat this way. I do eat healthy most of the time. The majority of my meals are really light and have a great balance of vegetables and protein and grains, but I also am a sucker for a really good cookie or a cupcake or a macaroon. And I find it very hard to turn those things down when I don't have specific guidelines in place for myself. So I think one of the things that's really great about this challenge is, yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt to have the discipline enforced, but also it makes it so much easier to say no to something when it's not just like, oh, no, I shouldn't. It's, no, I can't. I've set this out for myself. I'm going to do it. And it's only 21 days. It's 3 weeks, but it's not very much time, not even a whole month. And I mean, we're on, I think, what, day 18 now? And it went so fast. Like, I can't believe we only have today, tomorrow, and, what, Thursday, Friday left, and that's it. And I'm almost sad it's going to be over, because then when someone offers me a cookie, I'm probably going to say yes. And I think one of the things that sold Dad on this was the fact that he didn't really have to do any extra work. I mean, it's been kind of a bummer when he goes out to lunch with clients and has to order the plain grilled chicken and the side of plain vegetables. And I know he's not loving that, but the flip side is he's getting really, really great meals at home, and we have been packing him lunches. So, you know, it's hard to feel too bad for the man who gets a delicious lunch packed for him every day and doesn't have to eat a sandwich from the deli downstairs in the office building that's kind of crappy, and who knows how long those ingredients have been sitting there, and God knows what's in that bread they're using, and all that whole Subway fiasco thing. So,
right. And, I mean, I hate to pick on Subway, and I won't pick on them, you know, only, but that Subway is a big go-to for tennis families. And so I think, you know, one of the challenges, and I've written about this when as I've been writing about our 21-day challenge, is when you're on the road, and what do you do about finding good food? And, you know, one of the things that I know several families did, we did a little bit with your brother, was taking a big cooler in the car and hitting the grocery store when you get to the town you're going to be in for the weekend and loading up on fresh fruit and, you know, carrots and things that you can nosh on. And, you know, but it's challenging. So your dad ended up going on a business trip last week for a few days, and he kept consulting you about what to do. He was in this hotel. He's at a conference. So what are some of the tips that you shared with him to keep him on track?
One of the biggest things with keeping Dad on track was honestly the encouragement. Every time he sent a text of everyone around me is eating steak, what do I do? It was like, okay, good for you. Don't eat it. What alternatives can you find? Do they have fish? Do they have chicken? Do they have lamb? Something that's on our clean eating list, something that's not going to be cooked with butter. And just I tried to be as specific as possible with him. You know, I didn't want him to get the fish that was topped with hollandaise sauce. Like, that's going to undo the whole thing. But we laid out a clear list at the beginning of the challenge. Here are the things that you cannot eat. It's not a very long list. And the things you can eat is a much longer list. And it's, you know, it's not like there are no good things to eat. I haven't really missed much of anything. And aside from his Diet Coke and the Splenda and his coffee, I don't think Dad's missed a terrible lot either. You know, we've been cooking to what he likes. But he did a great job on the road. You know, everywhere he went, he was pretty much able to get grilled chicken and some vegetables. Breakfast was a bit of a challenge for him. I think he had to just stick with fresh fruit as opposed to his normal gluten-free toast with almond butter and apple slices. But I think the key to keeping him on track was really just the positive reinforcement. And it also helped knowing that you're in it together. So he knew we were back here keeping on the challenge, and we were going to be really bummed if he gave up.
Right. And, I mean, one of the interesting things I thought was the last day that he was gone, he was driving back to Atlanta, he wound up stopping at a Chick-fil-A for lunch, and he even was able to find something at Chick-fil-A, which was pretty cool.
It was impressive.
Yeah, so talk about, you know, what he ate there. And
what did he eat? He ate grilled chicken?
He got a grilled chicken sandwich, I think, and just left the bread off. And
right. Yeah, and he said, you know, they had a kale salad, but I couldn't bring myself to eat that, and we had a good laugh over that because there was no way that kale salad was going to be as good as my kale salad, which is how I used to, and it's a pretty good standard for kale salad, so shameless plug, make sure to check out my last episode on kale salad. To go into Chick-fil-A, which just overwhelmingly smells like delicious fried chicken and amazing waffle fries, and walk out of there with a grilled chicken sandwich and pasta bread, that was really impressive. I personally don't know that I would be able to do that. I just stay away from any and all prepared food when I'm doing this sort of thing. Like, I can't go out to restaurants. I can go into coffee shops and have a cup of decaf, but I have to just, like, avert my eyes from the pastry case because that's just too depressing for me.
Well, and I think it's a true testament to the fact that even when you're not home and able to cook three solid meals a day, there is a way to eat cleanly and fuel your body in a clean way that's not all that terribly difficult.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think really the hardest part of finding something healthy to eat at Chick-fil-A is just telling yourself, okay, I can't have fries, I can't have the chicken strip, but it's all right because I'm going to feel so much better if I eat this grilled chicken instead.
Right. And let's talk about the menu planning that's gone into this challenge, because as I told you at the get-go, I love cooking. I enjoy the process of cooking. I don't even mind the grocery shopping, and I really don't even mind the cleaning up, washing the dishes.
The best part of being in her kitchen, she always cleans up. It's so nice.
But for me, the hardest part, and this was always the case, even when you guys were all at home when y'all were kids, is planning the menu. And when you're going to devote yourself to eating cleanly, it really does require planning. And so talk about how you came up with the different menus and the changes we've made as we've gone through this challenge and maybe some permanent changes that'll be made moving forward.
Well, I think the menu planning is really the most fun part. That's not true. It's the second most fun part. The cooking is the most fun part. But planning the menu is fun because you get to really explore. It's a chance to try stuff that you wouldn't normally think of, get some things on there that are not on our usual rotation. I mean, how many times did we have my honey mustard ginger glazed salmon the first couple weeks I was here? It was like, you know, at least once a week. And so it was fun. We went through Chef V's list of recipes that she makes available to her 21-day challenge participants. And we sat down together and picked out all the ones that sounded good, made a list, and then sort of finagled where they should go on the menu. And for week one, the plan was salad for lunch every day. And when I say salad, listeners know that I don't believe in salads that have fewer than 5 ingredients. I think they're boring. So I like salads that are packed with just a ton of different things like nuts and fruit and 3 or 4 different kinds of vegetables, my chickpeas. Like, I love sautéed chickpeas. They're crispy, they're salty, they're spicy, and it really just livens things up. So just really funky salads with multiple ingredients to keep your taste buds interested. And so that was our lunch plan. And then we planned out kind of a balanced protein and two veggies, maybe a grain for dinner every night. And it worked really well for the two of us, but Dad was not a huge fan of the salads for lunch. He wanted some more manly meals. So then for week two, when we went in to reevaluate, we figured out that if we just made an extra portion of every night's dinner, we could bring it to him or give it to him to take for lunch the next day. And he was much happier, and we were perfectly content not having to make our salad the night before after finishing up dinner. And we just, you know, tried to incorporate a lot of variety. Like on days where we'd have chicken for lunch, then we'd maybe have fish for dinner. And on days where we had a vegetarian or vegan lunch, we'd have maybe chicken or lamb for dinner to kind of balance out the heavy meals and the light meals across the day and across the week as well.
We've also been working out a ton.
A ton.
And that, for me at least, has changed the things that I need in my diet. So talk about that a little bit, the adaptations we've had to make.
Yeah, so there have been some days where, you know, we'll go take a yoga class in the morning, and then we come home, and a light salad sounds perfect. And then there are days where we go get our butts kicked in a boxing class and come home, like, needing all the protein. And those are the days where it's like, okay, let's put chickpeas and chicken and nuts and avocado and tons of greens in this salad, and it's like a protein feast, but it's still in a really healthy way. Neither of us is really into the whole protein shake thing. We've been using vegan hemp protein powder in our smoothies in the morning, which is really good, kind of gets us through the morning, and I don't know, I'm full whole lunch every day with that smoothie. And, but yeah, so it just depends on the workout itself. I feel like the really hardcore power workouts are the ones where we come home eating, like, those sautéed chickpeas with kale. Or those are, I mean, I could eat that almost every day, so.
Right. And I have found that I'm not a big protein eater normally, but with all of the exercise we're getting right now, and now the weather's starting to warm up a bit, and, you know, in fact, I was on the tennis court for an hour and a half out in the heat, and I'm finding that my body is craving more protein the more I exercise. So as a way to translate this, you know, to a family with young athletes in the house, you really have to pay attention to your kids and their energy levels and help them understand how what they're putting in their body is reflected in their performance on the tennis court, in the gym, in the classroom, I mean, wherever they are throughout the day. And same goes for us adults. You know, what we put into our body is going to impact our energy level and our performance out there. So, you know, we found, and I think we've done a pretty good job, Emma, of really tweaking the menu to, like you said, suit whatever type of workout we're doing on a given day. And, you know, we've been pretty flexible, or tried to be pretty flexible, in terms of moving menu items around from day to day. We had to do that last night because your sister came and she doesn't eat salmon, and so we flip-flopped some things around in our weekly menu, no big deal. The key, I think, is preparation. Yeah?
Absolutely. And I have to say, the first week went into it super gung-ho, and, you know, we decided we were going to do this challenge, and the two of us went to the grocery and bought everything in the produce section, a couple of pounds of organic chickens, some organic lamb chops, a bunch of organic wild-caught salmon, and we had a full fridge that you could barely move things around in, and everything we needed was in this house, and that was fantastic. And we may have let it slip a little bit this last week, just because we had a crazy weekend and things got busy. We went to see a play and had a couple workouts on a couple days with some two-a-days, and so just didn't have a chance to do that one giant grocery run. But what we've been doing, and it's kind of working out, maybe even a little better because things are fresher and we don't have to worry about certain ingredients going bad. Pomegranate seeds. And so that's been as much fun as it is to go to Whole Foods every other day and spend a tiny fortune. portion on one bag of groceries, it's worked out nicely because it gives us that flexibility. It's not like, oh, we have the salmon in the fridge already, we better make it tonight. It's like, oh, well, you know, we have some greens and we have some cauliflower, and if we want to switch up the protein on the plate tonight, that's no big deal.
Right. And it's interesting, we're finding where to source specific ingredients. Where's the best place to buy the fish? Where's the best place to buy the pomegranates? Where do we need to go for the greens for our green juice? And so I think that's all part of the process too. And I think it, that piece of it can be really overwhelming for somebody trying this out for the first time.
Definitely.
So do you have some tips for people that are, you know, kind of toying with the idea of giving this a try, but are really just kind of paralyzed at the thought?
Yes. I would say, as far as where to find your ingredients goes, start at your normal grocery store. Get everything you can get there, because you've probably figured out your store already, and you've probably figured out that that's the store that has the prices that fit your budget. And it should have most of your ingredients. I mean, we can find almost everything we need at Kroger when we go. But there are certain things, like I haven't found dandelion greens anywhere other than Whole Foods because it's obscure. Most people don't even know about them. They don't taste great on their own, but they're really good as part of our green juice that we have every morning. And so Whole Foods is usually my last stop. I usually hit Kroger for the basics, get as much of my produce there as I can because I find that their produce tends to be pretty good. Then Trader Joe's is the next stop. That's where I go to get my snacky stuff. If they ever bring back the sliced jicama, that will make me really happy. And they also have, you know, some pre-chopped things. They have, like, French green beans that are already washed and the ends are cut off and they're ready to go. So those are great to keep on hand as snacks. And then I go to Whole Foods to sort of fill in the blanks for, again, the pure things like dandelion greens. And then our local market has really good fresh fish and really awesome chicken. So that's my favorite place to buy meat as much as I can there. If they don't have a certain thing that, you know, we usually get at Kroger, Whole Foods, or wherever else we venture off to. But, yeah, I think the key piece of advice is start at the store you know. Scour it for the things that you might not have even known they had because you've never looked for them before. And then branch out from there.
And I think it's interesting, you know, we're at the grocery store at some grocery store pretty much every day buying something, whether it's at Kroger or at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or the local little Oakhurst market or even the farmer's market. But what's funny is when I go to Kroger now, basically I'm going to the produce section, I'm maybe going to the meat department, and I may stop into the, like, healthy eating area for a couple things. But really, that's it. Those are the places I'm going in the grocery store. I'm not going up and down every aisle because there aren't things on every aisle that are part of our eating plan. And the only time I'm going down the paper good aisle is when I'm out of toilet paper or need another thing of tinfoil.
We are running out of toilet paper more often as well as all the water. So there's that.
I wasn't going to go there, but okay.
I mean, it's kind of been a staple of this thing. It's been the running joke. It's like, all right, well, we got to pee. Yeah, okay, what else is new?
Right. And that is a side effect. And, I mean, there are a lot of theories around that, right? I mean, we're eating cleaner, which is helping our body process the food more efficiently. And the first week, I think it's a lot of detoxing. I think it's the body's way of getting rid of all the garbage that, I've been putting into it the last 53 years. But as the challenges move forward, you know, we keep trying to figure out, okay, yeah, we're drinking a lot more fluids during the day. We're starting our day with a glass of water, 4 to 6 ounces of green juice, and a smoothie. I mean, that's all before 9 a.m.
For some of us
that wake up. So that's a lot of fluid in the morning. And then for Emma and me, we're eating a salad at lunchtime typically. So there's a lot of greens in the salad. Greens contain a lot of water. So that's contributing to the frequency as well. So it's not just the liquids we're drinking. It's also the fluids that we're getting through the foods we've chosen to eat.
Well, and pretty much all of our snacks now are fresh fruit and fresh vegetables and mostly fruit. And so, you know, apples have super high water content, pineapple, melon, it's all got a ton of water content. So, yeah, even when we're eating, we're drinking.
Right. So, I guess it's good to put that out there that this is a side effect of this way of eating. I don't know if my body's going to eventually adapt and regulate itself, but I can tell you we're 18 or 19 days in and things have not slowed down in terms of, you know, the need for frequent bathroom breaks throughout the day to let my body flush out all these extra fluids. And I, on the one hand, it's annoying, but, you know, I do see the benefit and I feel like it's a healthy side effect of what we're putting into our bodies.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you, but I found during workouts, like certain workouts where I sweat like crazy, particularly the hot yoga classes, I actually don't have to go as often if I'm doing that. Like, I'll still pound down a 20-ounce bottle of water during class and one after, and I usually still find myself, like, just enjoying those fluids and not needing to release them.
Right. Interesting. So once you finish the 21-day challenge, I think, you know, now we're winding down, and my brain is kind of going to, okay, what's next? And we had this conversation last night. We were asking Dad, so what permanent changes do you think are going to come out of this? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, he, you know, has, again, dropped Splenda, dropped Diet Coke, and those are the two things I'm like, you got to get rid of. Because they're, like, I don't even understand the enjoyment of those things. I think they're gross. I can't imagine they make you feel good. And they're just bad for your body. And so if they're... if he drops anything after this challenge, like, I'll be thrilled if that's it. It's the chemical, uber processed, just ick that he's putting in. And he said, you know, he doesn't really miss the Splenda. He hasn't missed the Diet Coke at all. And frankly, if you need a calorie-free caffeine boost, drink a cup of coffee. It tastes better. It's better for you. It's, you know, natural, one ingredient, not made in a lab. And he even said, you know, he hasn't really missed bread or, you know, other gluten things. Of course, those will naturally find their way back into the diet. But he did say he misses dessert and will probably want to bring that back. But my hope is that instead of going to the pantry and finding, you know, whatever's in there, honestly, but a cookie or seven or a big handful of chocolate chips, he'll maybe still be satisfied to have a fresh date and an apple and a couple pieces of melon and maybe like a small piece of dark chocolate if he's really got the craving instead of just the junky stuff that's in there just because he needs something sweet. And he only cut Splenda and Diet Coke. Or he cut Diet Coke the whole time, but he only cut Splenda for the last week. And so I told him my hope is that his taste buds will sort of readjust and redefine sweet because I think those chemical sweeteners really blow your perception of what sweet is to a point where fruit doesn't taste really sweet and delicious. It just tastes kind of healthy. And, you know, to me, a date is as sweet as, you know, some cupcakes.
Right. And we've eaten a lot of dates, I will say.
Oh, my gosh, so many dates.
And they're good for digestion, too. So yeah. Let's be honest. You know, this is, I mean, a lot of the foods we're eating aren't just about energy or weight loss, but more about helping the body function more efficiently. And I think you and I have both discovered that during our workouts, we're feeling more energetic, stronger, we're able to do things that maybe we weren't able to do before. I don't know, how do you feel about that?
I definitely agree with all that. And I mean, the word I use to describe it, which always kind of makes people go, what, is lighter. I feel lighter. And not like I feel lightheaded or I feel foggy. I just feel like I can move with a lightness. Like I don't feel sluggish. I don't know. After you eat like one of those big steak and potatoes or like a bowl of pasta, sometimes I just feel like I need a nap. And I have not felt that way after a single meal during the last 2.5 weeks. After every meal, I feel energized. I feel happy. And I feel like, you know, I could go out and I'm not going to say run a mile because I couldn't do that anyway. You know, go out and take on the world. I can do these workouts. And the workout I was in today, actually, the trainer joked while we were doing some kind of gnarly rubber band lunge, awful torture move. He's like, earn it. Earn your calories. Then you can go home and eat Thin Mints. I was like, what do you mean I can go home and eat Thin Mints? If I eat Thin Mints, I can't come back and do this tomorrow. And that's really what I think it is. It's like, I feel so good from just giving my body the fuel it needs and not bogging it down with the junk it doesn't, that, you know, I'm inclined to keep eating this way. And I was thinking about that a couple of days ago. Like, I'm kind of sad that it's almost over. And I'm really excited for our big celebratory dinner at the end of this, where we go out and eat a bunch of the things we haven't been allowed to eat. But on that same page, I'm like kind of sad that I probably won't be feeling quite as good. And after that meal, I probably will go back to, you know, the sort of clean regimen, keep the desserts out of the house, that's easy enough. And that's my big thing is, you know, it's not here, it's a non-issue. It's when I've got, you know, a jar of cookies on the counter and a pint of ice cream in the freezer, then, yeah, I'm going to eat it. If it's not here, it's not a problem. And, frankly, until birth month rolls around in a few weeks and it's time to binge on cake for a month, well, probably fine.
Right. You know, it'll be interesting to see for your dad and me. We've had the benefit of Emma here to do the menu planning, do most of the cooking, most of the food prep.
Most of the dictation.
Most of the dictation.
Keeping everyone in line.
Exactly. But also, you know, providing that encouragement, like you were talking about before. And it'll be interesting to see, once you head back to the West Coast, what we're able to maintain on our own. Part of the challenge for us, I think, will be, we've moved into this new part of Atlanta, downtown, where there are a gajillion restaurants around us, lots of them with very healthy menu items. So, you know, we will be able to go out to eat and find healthy choices on the menu.
Yeah, but how often do you want to do that?
Well, and that's the challenge. And for us, you know, we're excited to explore our new part of town, but at the same time, I don't think we want to give up the benefits of the clean eating that we've been experiencing. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how things go moving forward. So what about you? When you go back to California and it's back to cooking for one person instead of three, what do you foresee in terms of what you'll do in your own kitchen?
Well, I'm used to cooking in kind of a different way. You know, I don't really plan a menu so much as I'm so based on my cravings. I generally keep the same basic ingredients in my fridge. I usually have squash, zucchini, eggplant, some broccoli slaw, some, you know, organic chicken breasts. I usually keep those in my freezer just so they're around whenever I need them and they don't go bad. And chickpeas, so many chickpeas. And I kind of just batch cook at home. So usually I'll make like a big stir fry and I'll eat that three or four times throughout the week. And if I, you know, get home after a workout and I'm ready for lunch and stir fry sounds terrible to me, then it's chickpeas and kale, or I'll fry up an egg or do something, make a frittata. You know, there's a lot of variety of kale. That's another one. It's always in my fridge. Big, big bunch of kale. And I think it'll probably go back to that just because it's hard to cook these fabulous meals for one and still keep that economical, because a lot of times, you know, for dinner, if we need, like, if we're having cauliflower, you can only buy a head of cauliflower. I'm not going to eat a whole head of cauliflower myself, and it's never as good the next day. That's one of those things that's just, like, so good fresh out of the oven. So there are certain things, you know, that I can do that I always do. Like, when I buy salmon, I buy three portions of salmon and bake it and then cook it one portion at a time because that takes 10 minutes. But then it's all prepped. But, you know, also when I get back, it will be my birthday, which means, you know, I'll probably be going out a good bit. And the first night back, I'm going out to a movie, and as part of my ticket, I get popcorn and a soda, which I may or may not consume, but it's going to be right there. So right off the bat, it's harder when I'm out of this enclosed environment. And, you know, it's kind of sad to not have people to cook for. I love having an audience for my kitchen creations. Well, and we love being your audience.
We have been the beneficiaries. It's been fantastic. It's funny, when Savannah was here last night, she was kind of making fun of us. She's like, oh, you guys have such a tough week ahead of you. Are we going to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's for our red pomegranate seeds today?
Oh, which two workouts do we want to do? Oh, which delicious salad should we have for lunch?
Exactly. So it's definitely been it's been fun and less difficult than it would have been had I been the one to have to do all the menu planning and all the shopping and all the cooking and all the cleaning up myself. But if we're putting this out there for families to try, and families that have athletes in the house, so, you know, kids that are still growing, their bodies are still developing, they've got different nutritional needs, obviously, than you have as,
sure,
as a 20-year-old and me as a 50-year-old. But these kids are, you know, they're in school for several hours a day on top of their physical training. Do you have any tips in terms of things that these athletes can take with them to practice, to eat in the car on the way or in the car on the way back from practice after they're exhausted, or to have to take on the tennis court with them or in the gym with them?
Yeah, and that's actually another one of the things that I forgot to mention that's been so good with Dad, is just making sure he's always got healthy snacks on him, because he's a snacker, and, you know, if he doesn't have something we've given him, he'll likely just grab whatever's around, you know, whether that's a Kind bar or a candy bar, or I think he's joking about a pack of Reese's or Snickers. So healthy snacks are big. One of his favorites, and one of mine, is just fresh almonds, raw almonds, and goji berries. They go really well together. It gives you sort of protein and a little bit of sugar, but natural sugar from fruit. And goji berries are just like packed with all kinds of nutrients, and they're little and they're tart, so they kind of give you a little thing. And that's a good one. We really enjoyed our sliced jicama when it's been available. And that's a good one because you can just throw it in a cooler bag, and it, you know, you don't have to worry about it going bad or whatever. It's crispy and it's light and it's fresh, and it has a lower sugar content than fruit, so if you need something a little less sugary. Sliced apples and almond butter, another go-to of mine. If it's something that I'm going to have to eat in the car, usually what I do is I slice up the apple ahead of time, stick it in a Ziploc, and then I have just a little container, probably holds a half a cup, and I just put a bunch of almond butter in there. I try to portion control myself on the almond butter, because I can sit and eat a whole jar in a day, and at that point, even though it's a healthy food, I've consumed probably 3,000 calories of almond butter. So that's also good to portion it out. But you can kind of dip in the car, snack, and drive, or passage, whatever. What else have we been snacking on? Green beans.
Right. Cut up veggies and kept blueberries. Have been a good snack. And I know your brother used to take blueberries on the court, actually, to eat at the changeovers. So that was kind of one of his on-court snacks.
Hummus. Yeah, we love hummus. We have to actually make a new batch because we ran out yesterday.
Yeah.
But hummus is awesome, and, you know, yeah, you kind of miss pita chips for a second, but cucumber slices in hummus is like the perfect pick-me-up snack because those cucumber slices are fresh. They're really water-heavy, too, so that gives you, like, a little hydration boost, and then you get a big protein boost from the hummus.
Right, and not... We're not talking about the hummus that you buy already made at the grocery store.
No.
Hummus is one of those things that's so easy to make. I mean, that's something that I was making even before we did this challenge. If you've got a food processor, basically you rinse a can of organic chickpeas, throw them in your food processor with a little bit of olive oil and some spices
and garlic
and process it until it's the consistency you like. And that's it. And it's just so simple, and it keeps in the fridge for a good couple weeks, really. And so to have, you know, baby carrots or, like Emma said, the sliced cucumbers to dip in. Jicama is really good. It's dipped in it.
Green beans are good dipped in it. Fingers are great dipped in it. Sometimes you run out of other things.
That is true.
Yeah.
And it's a great protein snack, and it's got a little bit of fat in it. Definitely has some some salt, so that's good, you know, for a post-workout snack. That, you know, would be perfect coming off the court. Even between matches at a tournament, I would think that would be something, you know, if you planned ahead well enough, would be a good snack to have in between matches, because you kind of replenish your protein needs and your sodium needs at the same time. It's great.
And your carbs hit you with, you know, a good dose of complex carbohydrates.
True. And so I think, you know, those are some great things to get started with. In terms of fluid intake, we really have limited ourselves to water, the green juice that we've made fresh here.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some herbal teas, and we've kind of experimented a little bit with some of the herbal teas. We found a really yummy turmeric and ginger tea that has been very satisfying. It's got just enough natural sweetness in it so that you don't need to put anything in it, and there's no caffeine, and it's got a ton of flavor. So that's been really great. And that's it. We're not drinking juice other than our green juice. And, well, I'm having my coffee in the morning, but Emma was smart enough not to insist that I give that up.
No, I wanted to survive this challenge. So I figured best not to mess with mom's caffeine intake.
Right.
And I'm not. Nominal, so.
Right. I was just saying, I'm not a coffee junkie. I do drink 2 cups in the morning, but then that's it for the day. I don't have any more caffeine after that. So it's not a terrible lot, but I wasn't ready to make that sacrifice.
No, and I've been enjoying my decaf coffee. When I need something really rich, usually chocolate. Like when I'm craving chocolate, I'll have a cup of decaf coffee. Sometimes I'll sprinkle a little cinnamon in there just to give it a little something extra. And that, like, almost always satisfies the craving. Every now and again, I'm like, I still really wish I could have a piece of chocolate. But, you know, I can live.
Right. And you know what we haven't talked about is your sweet potatoes.
Oh, my dessert sweet potatoes.
Your dessert sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's one of my queen of the kitchen sort of, mantras is I don't believe in healthy dessert. I don't think it's a thing. Like, if I'm going to eat a cookie, I'm going to eat a cookie. And if it's not loaded with butter and sugar and eggs, then I don't really see the point. Because if it has none of those things, then it kind of ceases to be the cookie that I wanted. So I don't eat dessert terribly often, but when I do, it's going to be like real hardcore dessert. And so one of the struggles on this 21-day challenge has been all of those things are banned. We can't have dairy, we can't have gluten, can't have eggs, and we can't have sugar. So I was like, well, I'm not going to try to tweak some weird version of a healthy dessert and like use, I don't know, some like cacao and like sugarless this and gluten-free flour and whatever vegan substitute for eggs. But I was craving something sweet and warm after dinner, like the first week. And I eat sweet potato wedges at dinner a lot. You know, I cook those probably twice a week just as part of our meal. And it's always nice to kind of finish the meal with the sweet potato wedge because it's like, oh, it's a little something sweet. So it just kind of struck me. I'm like, well, what if I did sweet potatoes for dessert? Bear with me. I know it's weird. So I wedged up the sweet potatoes, used a little bit of coconut oil instead of olive oil, sprinkled them with a little bit of pink salt because everything's sweet, let's have something salty in it, and then gave them a hefty sprinkling of cinnamon because I love cinnamon and I just think that really makes things taste like dessert. And that totally satisfied. Baked them or roasted them at 450 for like 20-25 minutes. And they were so delicious, and I was very satisfied because they're really filling, but they're vegetables, so they're totally healthy, and you can eat as many of them as you want and never, ever feel guilty about it.
And they come out of the oven crispy on the outside, but they're creamy on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
They have a sweet potato creamy texture. So it really is, in terms of kind of satisfying what your mouth is craving,
does the trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And even for your dad.
Right. I mean, he was hesitant, actually. The first thing was, I don't want any of that. And then I brought him out, and we were noshing on them, and he's like, yeah, give me one of those. And then ate a good portion of the plate.
Yeah. And that's been a great go-to. And it's another one of those things that if you keep sweet potatoes on hand, they last a really long time just in your cupboard.
I've never seen one go bad.
Right. And like Emma said, you know, in 25 minutes, if you cut them into wedges, they cook up that quickly, and they're a great side dish. They're a great snack. They're a great dessert item with the cinnamon. And we've actually consumed a hefty quantity of sweet potatoes.
They're so good for you, though. And it's funny because I grew up hating sweet potatoes. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I always thought they were disgusting because I'd only ever had them served up like a baked potato where you bake the whole thing and then cut it open and like put butter or whatever inside. And I don't know, something about like the mushiness that I was like, it wigged me out that I was having this like sweet thing as part of my dinner. But once I figured out how I like them prepared, oh my God, I eat them all the time. And that's, you know, like we were saying, if you have junk food around, you're going to go for the junk food. That's why I've always insisted that, you know, every time we go to the store, she's like, hey, we don't need sweet potatoes. We've got like three. I'm like, yeah, but we're going to make them tonight, and then we're going to need more. Like, I never like to not have sweet potatoes around. Because, you know, if you've got the craving, it's just good to have it there. It's such an easy fix.
Right. And, yeah, they have been a great staple during this challenge, for sure. I'm trying to think, like, of all the foods that we've eaten during the challenge, I would say the thing we've consumed the most of, number one, would have to be kale, right?
Yeah.
And
spinach, because we have two handfuls of spinach in our smoothie every morning.
Right. But the kale has made its way into our breakfast smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, not in our breakfast smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's
our green juice. It's in our green juice. We typically are having kale in some way, shape, or form for lunch.
Whether it's marinated as a salad or sautéed with the chickpeas or, yeah, that's pretty much how we eat it.
Yeah. And then at dinner time, I think kale has been part of dinner probably at least two or three times a week.
Absolutely.
So we have eaten a lot of kale, and it's not something that I ever really bought. I, you know, have it when I go out to eat. I love the taste of it, and I love, like, the idea of a kale salad with fresh beets and walnuts and all of that. But it's not something I ever really wanted to tackle on my own. But, you know, through watching Emma and eating it for these past couple weeks, it's definitely something that will be part of our regular diet here now.
And yay!
And it's not even, like, buying the already washed and cut up kale in the bags, I mean, it's so easy to just wash it and cut it up yourself. So I would say look for the organic kale in a bunch in the market. Don't buy the bag stuff. If that's your only option, then buy the bag stuff. But if you have the option of buying the fresh bunch of kale, it's so simple to prepare.
And it's so cheap. It's like 99 cents for a bunch, which is just crazy cheap as far as produce goes, especially over here.
Right, that's true. So after the kale and the sweet potatoes, I would say the other thing that we've gone through a ton of is blueberries. And that's been another kind of dessert staple, is to pull out a big bowl of blueberries at the end of the meal. And that's also very satisfying.
Right.
And we've eaten a lot of them. But, again, full of nutrients. It satisfies the sugar craving. It's a nice sweet end to the meal, and that's been a great thing to keep on hand and a great snack item too.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we're coming down to our last few minutes or so, Emma, so I absolutely want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about cleaning the kitchen. Whenever I have guests on the show, I like to give them the chance to kind of promote what they're doing out in the world besides talking to me for an hour, so
that's much of what I'm doing, Laurel. Let's be real.
So, talk a little bit about cleaning the kitchen and what you're hoping to accomplish with it, and what you've prepared so far, and where you see it heading in the future.
Well, like I said, I got into it I had been toying with the idea of a cooking show for a while. I'd been Instagramming my food pictures, and people were always like, "Oh, you should start a food blog." And I'm not a writer. You're the writer. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I don't want a food blog, but you know, it might be fun is to get in front of the camera. Obviously, I'm an actress, and so in front of the camera is where I like to be. And I have this great pink kitchen and this deep love and passion for cooking. So I figured that was something that merited sharing with the world. And I just thought it would be a fun project, and it's all my pet project for the time being. No one's paying me for it yet, unless somebody out there wants to hire me to cook on your TV channel, because I will. But I, you know, the first go round of episodes. We shot 5 episodes in one day, which was a really fun and super long and kind of hot day because we couldn't run the AC and we had to keep the windows closed and it was in a kitchen. So it was an adventure. But it was really easy to come up with my first 5 because all I had to do was think of the things that I make on a normal basis and share them with the world. So my first episode is something that I eat all the time. Like I mentioned earlier, it's my honey mustard ginger glazed salmon with roasted Brussels sprouts and turmeric sweet potato wedges. And the sweet potato wedges are a staple in our diet now and have been a staple in mine for a while. That salmon is so easy. It's literally, the name is the recipe. It's got honey, it's got mustard, it's got ginger, and it's got salmon. And that's it. And so I really wanted to share that with people because, you know, people are so impressed by my food pictures, or when I have friends over for dinner, they're like, oh my God, you don't even have to go to all this trouble. First of all, there's nothing I love more than spending a day in the kitchen just making things. Like, I attempted croissants from scratch one time just because I was bored. But I liked making it accessible to people. I like when people realize that cooking is, A, not super daunting and scary, and B, really a pleasurable experience, and C, easy to make, you know, really good stuff. And that's really what it comes down to, is like, I just want people to know that they can eat healthy things that taste good without going to like worlds of trouble to make it happen. And then, of course, my second episode, I did my chocolate chip cookies, because like I said, I don't mess around with healthy desserts. I don't mess around with desserts, period. Like, they better be really good. And I made probably 40 batches of these cookies before I really perfected the recipe. And you can ask anyone who's tried them. Like, they're the best. They are delicious. They're perfect. They're not to be messed with anymore. And that was probably my favorite episode because, fun fact about cooking shows, you have to prep the final product before you do the show. So my prep was to bake a batch of cookies. So I had probably, I don't know, 2 gallons of cookie dough sitting in my apartment. I sent it home with my producers and my team. I was like, y'all gotta get this out of here. I will eat it all, take it away. Hence the need for the 21-day challenge here and there to reincorporate some discipline. And that's kind of how I work with my show and my life. And, you know, it's all about a balance. Like, I want to be able to enjoy some really good desserts, and not even desserts sometimes, just a really decadent meal. Like, I'm not going to go out to a French restaurant and order a salad. That's such a sad way to spend a meal. And I love food. I love all varieties of food. But what I've found through cooking is that I really love food that makes me feel good. And on a day-to-day basis, I don't want to eat food that's prepared with heavy butter and things that are breaded and fried and, you know, just generally things that are going to feel heavy and make me feel icky. I want things that are going to keep me feeling light and fresh and peppy.
That's perfect. So for people that are looking for your Queen of the Kitchen show, how do they find it?
www.queenofthekitchen.com. That's the best way to get to it because you've got all the episodes right there and the recipes. The other way is on YouTube. It's Queen of the Kitchen. You might want to type in my name with it, Emma Good, G-O-O-D-E. And those episodes should pop up there. Definitely make sure to check them out. They're all under 20 minutes. So it's a quick, easy lesson in how to make something delicious. And everyone that's told me they've made my recipes has said they love them. I don't know if the people that hated them just, you know, aren't telling me or if they don't exist. And I'm going to go with the latter.
And I'll say, through this challenge, you know, Emma will be out at a class and text me, hey, Mom, can you prep the sweet potatoes, or can you prep the salmon, or can you prep whatever? And I know she's done an episode on it, so I'll pull it up on my laptop while I'm in the kitchen and get my tips that I need to get me through the prep work. So that's been really great, too. And through the episode, you're not just teaching recipes, but you teach some cooking techniques as well, which is great.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's what I think the difference is between an educational cooking show and reading a recipe. Like, you know, you see all those videos, those, like, tasty videos or whatever, and it's basically, like, an ingredient and a shot of the chopped ingredient, and you don't really learn what to do. So I want to make sure my viewers are learning about cooking so that they can get into it.
Right. So
for those of you that are tuning in, I hope you will be sure to check out queenofthekitchen.com. And if you're following along the 21-day challenge on Parenting Aces, there's a link to Emma's website at the bottom of each installment of my post on the challenge. So there's lots of opportunities to find her site and take a peek and hopefully learn something new and something healthy.